listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Nurturing Joy, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Podman, presented on Sunday, December 11th, 2016.
I'm wondering how many of you have ever been camping in the woods, far away from electricity, running water, and any other modern convenience, like a bathroom. Show of hands, anyone? Excellent. Then you'll understand this story. And you'll know that the ability to light a fire and keep it burning is really essential, especially if you're caught in a storm. Getting the wood to catch and burn is a tricky business, but fire makes all the difference to comfort and safety, to dry socks and hot food. About 10 years ago now, I led a group of 12 teenagers and 5 adults on a service trip to Rosarito Beach, Mexico, to build a house. Now, we were not out in the woods. We were, in fact, fairly close to town, but we were without any services. The water that was available to us was not potable. The ground on which we were camping was not welcoming. And we tented there for a week while we worked on a house that was in town. It was a grand adventure, as well as a chance to learn and to serve other people. We planned and raised funds for a year. Spaghetti dinners and pancake breakfasts, a pound auction, a rockathon. And then we received the instruction booklet that told us exactly how we were going to build this house. So in a little bit of a frantic hurry, I called a carpenter friend of mine, and we had a quick lesson. And I lobbied hard for particular parents to help chaperone, like the gentleman who'd worked himself through college as a carpenter, and the woman who had been an EMT. Finally, the June day arrived, and we loaded all our backpacks, 12 teenagers and 5 adults, into a 15-passenger van and a minivan with the seats taken out for all our gear. And away we drove. 2 days, 20 hours, we arrived with 1 hour before sunset to set up camp. It was a happy and relieved crew that unfolded ourselves from our seats and made camp, and then gathered around our first campfire of the week. And that became the theme of our week, the campfire at the end of the day. We spent every day of that wonderful week on the build site, leveling the ground, mixing the concrete by hand, pouring the foundations. We laid the wooden roof and papered and finished it. We built and raised the frame. And here's a thing I had no idea would work. We built this wooden frame, the structure of this tiny house, and we clipped it to the concrete foundation. Why did that hold it? It's still a mystery to me. We did that with a lot of muscle and a lot of prayer that the whole thing wouldn't just tilt over. Then we pounded nails in every 2 inches along the frame and stretched the chicken wire around it, and then we stuccoed. How many of you have stuccoed? I'm guessing Chuck has done this. It is really hard work. We had to mix the stuff by hand, and you have to get the proportion of the cement and the sand and the gravel just right, or it's too wet and it won't stick, or it's too thick and it won't spread. We had many misadventures. And it also stings when you get it on your skin. You're sliding it up the wall and it drips down on you and gets in your hair and in your ears. But it was fun. In fact, it was glorious. It was also hot. We worked under the bright, dry sun on a small patch of land set close to a hill. By the third day, one of our adult chaperones had to immerse himself in the family's barrel where they caught rainwater to avoid sunstroke. But at night, every night, the fog would roll in and the temperatures would drop. We'd get back to our campsite exhausted, filthy, and completely happy. Then we'd gather around our campfire to eat, talk about the day, and process the level of poverty we were seeing, which was beyond anything we had imagined. We would sing, and we would rest in each other's company. A few nights, the fog lifted as we sat, and the stars blazed overhead. The traffic on the nearby highway died down, and we could hear the pounding of the surf just over the next ridge. But every night, fog or clear, it got quite cold and stayed cold till the morning. We needed those fires for physical warmth, for spiritual comfort, for creating the light and warmth for sharing our stories of the day. And every morning, we'd wake to a fresh bank of fog that rolled in off the ocean. And the team in charge of breakfast for that morning would get the campfire going. And that was a necessity, because without the fire, there was no coffee. And also, those dirty work shoes that some teenager inevitably left outside the tent, and the bandanas and sweaters that inevitably got left out, those needed to be dried. For the first 3 days, camping together, eating together, traveling to and from the worksite in our cramped van, getting hot and tired and dirty and working hard, it was fun. And then came the fourth day. Suddenly, no one looked very good to each other. Our backs were sore, and our tempers were short. And the fog rolled in early that day, before we even left the worksite. By the time we got back to our camping site, the dark sky had opened up in a downpour. And that's when we discovered that the boys had left the fly off of their tent. And the cooking gear had all been left out in the open, including the matches. All of the matches, except one. I had one match left in my kit. We decided that our soon-to-be Eagle Scout, Tanner, should be in charge of that last match. We used some discarded lumber, camp chairs, and tarps to form a lean-to, which we dragged over the fire pit. Our kindling pile was soaked, so we scrounged around to the bottom of the wood pile to find the driest large pieces we could, and one of our Girl Scouts got out an axe and made some new kindling. Several of us sacrificed the end pages of paperbacks we had with us to convince that damp kindling to catch. And others of us formed a human wall to block the wind. We all pulled in close, and Tanner lit the match. And we did it. Together, we did it. Before long, we had a warm fire going. And suddenly, everyone looked beautiful to each other again. And the tension lifted, and the sleeping bags got dried, and the dinner got made. This Advent is feeling a bit like those fog-soaked mornings and that fourth day of work. Tired, caught off guard by both a situation beyond our control and a bit of unpreparedness. I told those boys not to leave the fly off the tent. It was somebody's job to put the cooking gear, including the matches, away in the kitchen tent. We had an entire tent to store our gear for just that reason. There is a bit of unpreparedness. We want relief from the rain and our own tiredness. And we've got a whole pile of wet wood and one match. It's possible to get the fire going. It has been done before. But our resources seem so slight and our needs so deep. When Mary sang her song, flames were rising up in her and filling her with a beautiful vision of a joyful world. Her words were an echo of those spoken by the prophet Isaiah generations before. With Mary, we affirmed that there is a holy way out there, where the hungry are fed and the broken are made whole. Finding this holy way, walking in it, and belonging to it is possible for the oppressed and for the oppressors. It is even possible to begin your walk on the holy way with weak hands and feeble knees, with ears that hear only a whisper and eyes that see only dimly. It is possible even when war rages in Syria, even when the victory of the water protectors in South Dakota seems vulnerable, even when the ice sheets in the Arctic are melting, even when we are tired and discouraged and our wood is wet and our friends are testy and unlovely. This third Sunday in Advent, the Sunday of joy, is to remind us that joy is already present in our lives, even on days when it is hard to find. Joy is that tiny flame that will ignite into infinite heat and power when it is nurtured and tended. Now, joy is not the same thing as the cheerfulness and merriment of the season. Although when those are authentic, they may spring from that deep joy, and they may reflect it. But true joy is something deeper. It is both a flame of light and the very ground on which we stand. The trust that we belong to God and that God is with us. Joy keeps our feet moving on the holy way of hope, the holy way of peace and love, when the world speaks only of grief, anger, despair, and hatred. We are not waiting for something that has not yet happened, so much as we are calling ourselves to pay attention to what did happen, what is happening, and what will keep happening again and again. God, Emmanuel, was with us and for us and on the side of our thriving. God, Emmanuel, is with us and for us and on the side of our thriving. And God, Emmanuel, will keep coming to us and being with us and being for us and on the side of our thriving. Sometimes as we look around, all we see are people in need of nurture and a warm fire. We live in a world that needs us, the body of Christ, to be the holy way, where the hungry are fed, the sick are healed, and the oppressed are liberated. The only way we can do or be any of this is to take time to carefully tend the fragile flame of joy within ourselves, to tend it with prayer and laughter, tradition and story, to tend it by telling the truth about your current state, whether happy, tired, or joyful. Tell it to the friend shocking language if that is the truth of where you are. But tell it, and then breathe deeply and listen. Listen for God reminding you that the joyful message of Christmas is that you cannot earn God's love because you already have God's love. Listen for the joyful message that God and God's realm are closer than you can imagine, and that the holy way leads to abundant, joyful life. When we take time and care to tend and feed it, joy will become a fire that strengthens and warms us. It will become firm ground for our feet to stand on. We will be able to continue telling our stories, singing our songs, doing our work for justice, and laughing over the simple pleasure of a warm fire while the rain pours down. And when there is one among us who cannot find their joy, be that wall of people around them and protect them from the wind. Together, we will light a flame. We will touch the joy in our hearts. We will stand on it in the world. Amen.